Martin.
Hello, everyone. My name's Adelia Volkanov.
And I'm your friend and co-host, Colin Bone.
This is episode... that went through me. This is episode 99 of Ron and Hermione Minus the Romance, and we will be diving into chapter 35 from Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. Last episode, I won trivia, and I will give you the question of the day after our disclaimers.
We'd like to first and foremost disclaim that we on Ron and Hermione Minus the Romance do not agree with or support J.K. Rowling's bigotry and prejudice in any way. We do not tolerate hatred of any kind and wish to create an open, safe environment on our podcast. Everyone is welcome and encouraged to listen here. This is your major spoiler warning. If you do not wish to hear anything beyond this point in the Harry Potter books discussed, this is not the podcast for you. We will be discussing and heavily referencing all media in the Harry Potter magical universe in every episode, so if this is your first encounter with the Harry Potter world, you have been forewarned. Now, if you're still here, enjoy the show!
Who from, I guess, actually, not even from the Harry Potter magical universe, who from, like, anywhere would you want to show up in your version of the afterlife if you could have a one-on-one with anyone?
Ever.
Yeah. Hmm. How about, give me one person just from, like, real life and then one from Harry Potter.
Got it. I think probably... my gut is telling me Amelia Earhart.
What happened in the Bermuda Triangle?
I want to know what went down. Were those coconut crabs scary? Apparently that's how she was... she died. Coconut crabs are really scary. Have you ever seen a coconut crab before?
I can't say that I have.
I dare you to look it up, because that's what she was devoured by.
What a way to approach this subject with sensitivity. I can't believe I'm Googling this right now.
I encourage all the listeners at home to look
Wow, that thing is... thing is big. Yikes. Oh my god. That is actually the most horrifying thing I could possibly imagine. Anyway.
From the Harry Potter universe. I would probably say... you know, probably also Dumbledore. Mm. I just feel like he'd have some interesting things to say. What would he say to me? Welcome. You know?
That's so funny. Okay.
You know in Puffs? Do you remember how they do this scene? He ends up dying. The main... spoilers for Puffs.
Ends
up dying. And then he goes to the afterlife and he meets Dumbledore. And he's like, am I going to go back to life? And he's like, oh no, you're dead. And then he's like, I am actually waiting here for somebody else. And this is really sad, but it's very funny.
That is so funny. That is such a good show.
Yeah.
If any of you ever get the chance to go see it,
for sure,
it's very good.
I would very much encourage you to go see Puff instead of Cursed Child.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Opportunity.
Honestly, okay, if you like ignore the fact that Cursed Child makes no sense in the context of the Harry Potter magical universe, it's probably a really cool show to see.
I've seen it. It's very cool to see.
Yeah, so if you can go and just also acknowledge that it makes no sense, it's probably really cool and fun. But Puffs is really good. Yeah. So, okay, let me think. Who would I want to have a one-on-one with? Okay, like, the one person I'd want to have a one-on-one with is, like, alive. So...
interesting.
Well, because I would say, like, Isabel Allende. But she's alive. So that wouldn't work.
just in case any of our listeners...
oh, okay. Just in case they don't know. She's an author. She's my favorite author.
Got it. And you're hoping she dies?
Her and me both. Yeah. no, okay, let me think. Who's dead? Oh, actually, maybe Joan Didion. She's an author. I read a book of hers recently, and I love her.
I thought you were going to say Joan of Arc, because I'd love to talk to her, too.
No, Joan Didion. And then, she would have, like, crazy life advice. She's very, actually, recommend Blue Nights by Joan Didion. Really good book. I think I just like memoirs. I think is my thing. I just really
That's really strange.
Reading autobiographies and memoirs. Like, I love it.
I'm not that kind of person.
Really? I love it.
I really appreciate fiction.
See, same. Because, okay, for me, it's like, veering off topic a little. For me, things that end up being very, very boring are outside of the genre of fiction or autobiography slash memoir. You know? Like, it's like nonfiction, just like nothing. Like, okay. Like, I might not like that very much. But like, fiction, generally anything, I will read it and like it. And also just like, I don't know. I love, like, I've been reading a lot of autobiographies by like, and like memoirs by like women, like female authors, like Isabel Allende and Amy Tan and Joan Didion. And I can't remember other ones at this current moment, but like, I don't know. It's just like, I think they specifically just had absolutely fascinating lives, but like, I don't know. It's just like, I love it. I love it. I will read about people's lives like any day. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, okay, wait, let me think. Who from the Harry Potter universe? Is it someone that, like, we're assuming at this point in Deathly Hallows is already dead?
I guess so.
Okay. Hmm. Honestly, I feel like it would be very interesting to have a one-on-one with Snape.
That's true.
Like, no bullshit. Like, just tell me everything. You know, like, that would be crazy.
On the other hand, Helga? Hufflepuff? She'd be a hoot.
So true.
Yeah.
She's probably so fun.
I bet she is, honestly.
Or Hepzibah Smith.
Oh my god. She'd be.
What a throwback.
I'd love to just gossip with her. Yeah.
Okay. Well, with that being said, let's get into it. Chapter 35, King's Cross. So, Harry wakes up in a pseudo afterlife.
Yes. I just have to put this quote because I think it's kind of funny. Almost as soon as he had reached his conclusion, Harry became conscious that he was naked. Convinced as he was of his total solitude, this did not concern him, but it did intrigue him slightly. I just think that was kind of funny. And I was also, like, going off the idea that this is all just going on in Harry's head,
mm-hmm.
What is the purpose of him being naked?
I think this is kind of, like, the mark of, like, new discovery for him. Like, who is he without a piece of Voldemort's soul? Like, what is, mm-hmm. It's kind of like, I feel like it's a commentary on the idea that, like, labels don't exist until you create them.
Mm.
Like, say, like, slightly off topic, like, a reading I did in class, and I'm, for everyone listening, I'm majoring in Latin American studies, and so it's like, there was this reading that said something about the idea of, like, the label of, like, indigenous. And it's like, indigenous people are not indigenous until people arrive and make them so, you know? So it's like, I feel like it's the idea. It's that, like, he's saying that, like, he's becoming conscious of himself, and he's suddenly, like, all of these, like, labels. I can't remember other, like, quotes from, like, this moment, but it's like, he realizes that he's awake, and because of that, he is this, and then this, and then this, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, because he's aware of his body, he then realizes that he's naked, but, like, is he, because, like, he's creating this world, so it's like, is he that way unless he decides it? But because he has been alive already, it's not like he's, like, new with no consciousness of anything. He's been alive, so he knows that he is not wearing clothes. He knows that clothes exist, right? But, like, if he didn't,
and
it's like,
he immediately goes to put on a robe,
right? So it's like, would he be naked if there were no clothes?
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, I feel like it's like, it's almost a commentary on that, because it's like, now this is a whole new moment for him. You know, it's like, he is Harry Potter, but, like, is he, like, without, like, what is he without Voldemort's soul? Like, who is he now? You know, so I feel like it's like, it's kind of mimicking that, like, discovery of things as, like, children do in a way. But it's like, it's kind of like a play on that, because it's not as if he's forgotten that he was alive, you know, but it's like a part of him is missing now. So it's like, yeah.
I was wondering, like, in the same way that he summons robes for himself, does he summon Dumbledore? Because I think this is the conversation he's really been waiting to have.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Dumbledore, even in this conversation, sort of isn't the one with the power. like, Harry's the one asking questions. Yeah. And Dumbledore isn't really continuing on the conversation unless Harry, unless he's answering a question for Harry.
Because I think Dumbledore also, like, knows, like, this isn't his time. Like, Harry has just gone through this whole ordeal. Like, I think he's accepting that he's going to tell him as much as he wants to know, not less, not more.
Yeah.
He's just going to give him everything that he asks for and leave it at that. And then Harry can go on and, like, really feel closure and, like, the finality of everything. Mm-hmm. So, like we just said, he realizes that he's naked, but the moment he feels that he wished he had clothes, they appear in front of him. And he then, you know, he's looking around and he sees something that he says looks like a small naked child curled on the ground, its skin raw and rough, flayed looking, lying under a seat.
His first instinct is to help it.
Yeah.
Because that would not be my first instinct. First thought, a gross, bloody baby. I'd be screaming and running.
Gross, bloody baby.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Is this...
It's like seizing. I don't know.
It's like writhing.
I think there's something really interesting about, like, the imagery of this, like, sort of really disturbing
stark
thing,
white,
sort of,
like
beautiful, just like very clean environment.
It kind of is, like, to me, because, like, this, I think this creature thing was kind of like supposed to maybe not assume but kind of interpret it as the same thing that was dropped into the cauldron. That's how I always kind of saw it myself, you know. And it almost feels like the parallels between Harry's soul, you know, as it was when he was a baby, you know, he hadn't really seen anything, you know, he was innocent, he was pure, he was a baby, and then was, like, you know, tainted, I guess, by this dark, like, thing, entity, which is Voldemort's soul, which had already seen murder and, you know, just awful things, you know? So I feel like we're almost, like, being transported back to, like, or being shown kind of, like, the image of, like, what that comparison was, which I think is interesting because it's, like, this whole king, this pseudo King's Cross, right, is so much bigger than this little, like, as Colin put it, gross bloody baby, you know? So it's kind of, like, the image that, you know, Harry's character and his soul and all of these things was so much bigger than anything that Voldemort ever, like, left on him.
Yeah, I definitely think the gross bloody baby is supposed to be, like, the Voldemort soul that's in him.
Mm-hmm.
And that has me asking the question to myself, does the killing curse actually kill the soul?
Mm.
Because it's the part of the soul that it's Voldemort in him was killed in this.
Yeah.
But not necessarily Harry.
Yeah.
And I think that's interesting because in any normal case, if somebody's soul was killed, then they would die as well. But I think in this specific case, because there was some extra layers to it, Harry was able to live. So I also believe that that could be something interesting. Also, another potential theory. What if... It kills the soul. Wait, no. What if it's the other way around? And the killing curse kills the body. And Harry's soul is now inhabiting his dead corpse.
I think that's very unlikely.
It's
but,
possible. We never know.
Okay, but say his body dies at this moment, right? He would start decomposing.
Yeah, I don't know what he'd look like 19 years later. Necessarily, he's looking, like, too great, you know? Say,
maybe,
like,
that's why
looking,
he looks so bad.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why the makeup was so bad.
Based on a biological standpoint, how long reproductive organs stay producing the things that need to be produced
after
that
death,
he can have
post-mortem
three children. Yeah,
probably not long enough.
Would you like to do some research?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and kill you right now.
Oh my god, that's not what I say. We have a computer right in front of us.
Okay,
but
so
that's just a theory.
So When Harry gets near enough to this thing to touch it and possibly help it, Dumbledore appears, and Harry asks him if he's dead, and Dumbledore says no.
I put here, Voldemort died because of his ego, ignorance, and his bigotry, which I find very ironic.
Yeah.
In today, with Miss Joanne Rowling.
Yeah.
Because she's quite literally become exactly what she writes as the bad.
Yeah, but I think what's interesting, though, is, and what I think to be true of, like, everyone who is, like, bigoted or prejudiced or whatever, is that you don't, most of them, I would say also, including J.K. Rowling, she doesn't think that she's being bigoted. She just thinks that she is right. And, I mean, I have no right to say that my opinion is right because whatever, you know. But the thing is like, you know, she has, yes, like, become similar in the sense that it's, like, now she's projecting all of these bigoted, prejudiced ideas. But it's... And it is ironic for that, but she would never see it that way because she, of course, does not think that she's being bigoted.
That's the irony.
Right, yeah. Which is so interesting to me because it's like she wrote this character that is so obviously, I mean, you know, he's prejudiced, he's all of these things, but he thinks he's right. Mm-hmm. And so in his world, he's right. And that's just how it is. And everyone else is like, okay, you know, like that's a little... And then, of course, now it's, like, same deal.
Yeah. And most importantly, his inability to be open-minded to other people who are different than him.
Right.
All around.
Yeah. Stuff. Even who are the same... You know, Voldemort was not a pureblood, which we all know. And yet he still has, like, a thing against Muggleborns, which of course, you know, we can trace back to his father being absent and whatever, but still, it's just interesting. That to me is like some of the most like fascinating like displays of like prejudice is when it's situations like that when you are not at all far removed from whatever group of people that you have issues with. And I always just find that fascinating, you know, because it's you can trace things like that back to people's childhoods, but it's always so interesting to me. It's like how people consider themselves, you know, Voldemort considered himself to be so above Muggleborns, despite the fact that, you know, his dad was a Muggle, you know.
It's also in a similar way as well, because J.K. Rowling has been very adamant, you know, in the past, I mean, she's considered a TERF, so she does declare herself as a feminist, and is fighting to say that, you know, like, of all the stuff that women have to deal with on a daily basis, but is unable to see that trans women could feel the same, have the same experiences.
Right, and the fact that she's contributing to that same kind of
exactly
thing that she's advocating again, like, you know. So Dumbledore appears, and Dumbledore says that by letting Voldemort kill him, Harry has destroyed the fragment of Voldemort's soul that clung to him, and Harry's soul is now completely his own. Which I think is interesting, because when we were talking about whether or not Harry would have gone into the forest without seeing the memories and things like that, I wonder if Voldemort had tried killing Harry and Harry hadn't seen the memories and did not necessarily go to him looking to be killed, like, if the outcome would have been the same. Because the way Dumbledore put it was because Harry, you know, like, welcomed death, like we call back to Tale of the Three Brothers, that because of that is why the piece of Voldemort's soul in him was destroyed.
I think it's very possible.
Yeah.
Again, we've talked earlier in this podcast about how we love the interpretiveness of this whole part.
Yeah.
And I really love that anyone could take away their own part of this. It doesn't feel like it's connecting to any, like, one single way of thinking.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Harry asks Dumbledore what the small figure is, and Dumbledore says it's something beyond either of their help. And Dumbledore explains that 3 years ago, Voldemort took some of Harry's blood to bring himself back to life, and because of the protection, Lily's protection in Harry's blood, Voldemort became something like a Horcrux to Harry. And So Harry is tethered to life while Voldemort lives, and because of that, he can now return to the living world if he so chooses. And Harry asks then where they are, and Dumbledore asks what he thinks.
Because I thought it was really funny.
Okay.
King's Cross Station, Dumbledore was chuckling immoderately. Good gracious, really? Well, where do you think we are? Asked Harry a little defensively. My dear boy, I have no idea. This is, as they say, your party. Harry had no idea what this meant. Dumbledore was being infuriating. I sort of love how the drastic change of this conversation with Dumbledore compared to, like, how they were talking to each other mm-hmm. last book. Because, like, the frequent comparison in this chapter of Dumbledore acting like a child who was caught in wrongdoing.
Yeah.
And it feels more like the roles have been switched.
Yeah. What was I about to say?
I don't know. I think we both just...
Glitched. So Harry says it looks like they're in King's Cross Station. And they get to talking, and Dumbledore expresses embarrassment and shame as he thinks about his own pursuit of the Deathly Hallows when he was young.
Yeah, they keep on saying Hallows, not Horcruxes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's interesting that Harry and Dumbledore seem to agree that the Hallows were somewhat of a better thing to be searching mm-hmm. for than the Horcruxes, when I really don't see them as being that different. Because the Hallows were something requested out of, like, pure greed, you know?
Yeah.
And then were just intended to be able to cheat death. And I think that is very similar. You know, granted, you're not killing somebody to make a Hallow.
Sure.
But I think the desire for it is pretty similar.
I would say yes, in the sense that... But also, you know, Horcruxes, like, that is very permanent. Once you make a Horcrux, that's pretty much it. Like, unless... Well, no, I just mean in the sense that, like, you know, the Hallows, you know, you can have them all. You can be Master of Death. But one day, should you decide that you're ready, just get... I mean, not that they actually make you immortal, and that's the key thing, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they make you Master of Death in the sense that you could potentially defeat anyone, hide from anyone, and, you know, see anyone that you desperately needed to see again at any moment. Horcruxes, though, guarantee you, unless you tell people about it and people figure it out, immortality, which I feel like is not necessarily the goal of owning the Hallows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Hallows, to me, it's like, it's more of like, you know, can I defeat any person that comes across me and whatever? Can I conceal myself from any person who I need to, and can I reunite with any person who has died and who I just really need to talk to again?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I feel like Master of Death, honestly, I feel like people probably coined that term with, like, more in regards to the wand,
mm-hmm.
because that's really that kind of, like, I can kill anyone with this, you know? But I feel like to own all three of them likely is not looking to, like, stay alive forever.
Yes, but also the Resurrection Stone is literally cheating death. Like, you're bringing somebody back from the dead. And in the story, the Invisibility Cloak is used to literally run away from death.
Yeah.
And it works for some time.
Right. But it is different because it's, like, it's a different kind of, like, I feel like people who would seek the Hallows would more be, like, afraid of death. I mean, of course, people who make Horcruxes are also probably afraid of death. But it's kind of different because Voldemort was afraid of death in the way of, like, a completely irrational person who refused to experience it.
Mm-hmm.
Hence the Horcruxes, right? If Harry had never come along, if Dumbledore had not been so intuitive, he would have just lived forever and ever and ever and would never have to confront his fear of death.
Yeah.
Someone who owns the Hallows is going to die. They're going to die someday, and they know that. But it's like, it's more of, like, fear and avoidance than it is, like, absolute determination to never experience death.
Yeah. I do think it's interesting, specifically comparing, like, Voldemort and Grindelwald as two different people. That, you know, Grindelwald was more interested in the Hollows. Specifically because, like, they mentioned, like, Voldemort had no interest in the Hollows. He didn't even really know they existed. He just wanted the Elder Wand. But Grindelwald was like, I want to get use Resurrection Stone because that means I can command an army of Inferi. And I don't know. I just think that's such an interesting difference between, like, two different levels of, like, somewhat super villainy, you know?
Yeah. Because I feel like, you know,
perhaps... It almost feels like Grindelwald had at least more of a vision. Yeah. You know, had more of a passion for what he was trying to do.
Yeah.
Voldemort was all self-centered, you know?
Right. And I feel like that's, you know, another, like, notable difference probably. But I just think generally, like, sure, it's like you seek to become Master of Death, whether through Hollows or Horcruxes, but you're not really... It's like you're not really mastering death with the Hollows. You know, it's like, in a way, it's like you are, but you're going to die, you know? And they know that. It's just like, how can you put it off just a little bit longer, you know? But Horcruxes, it's like, once you do it, it's like, that's pretty... I mean, say that you do it perfectly. You don't tell anyone. No one ever figures it out. You just... That's it. Like, you just... You are going to, like, live forever. And so, it's like, I feel like it's a different kind of... You know?
Yeah, something I'm also just thinking about. While this whole discussion of, like, the different versions of immortality, that this series starts with a different version of immortality. With the Sorcerer's Stone. And it's never really condemned there. You know, Nicholas Flamel isn't considered a monster in the same way Voldemort does.
Yeah.
For getting this down. And it's also like, why didn't he try to get it some time ago? When Voldemort's worrying about Horcruxes here, why isn't he just immediately planning to get the resurrections, get the Philosopher's Stone?
I think it's because of how Dumbledore said he didn't want to be reliant on anything. He wanted to be self-sufficient. He didn't have to, like, take his Horcruxes every day or, like, touch them or something.
I also don't really understand how the Philosopher's Stone's work, because apparently... It's not the stone.
It's the elixir of life. Yeah.
How do you get that from the little stone?
I don't know.
You juice it? You put it in your blender?
No, Voldemort never wanted to be reliant on anything. Same with the unicorn's blood, you know? Yeah. He didn't want to be reliant on something he had to do every day, you know? Because what if that failed? You know? That's why the Horcruxes were such a solid plan for him. And that's where the Hollows were not, because he would still die if he had the Hollows. Yeah. Sure, you know, if he was really the owner of the Elder Wand, he had the invisibility cloak, but he didn't even need the cloak to, like, you know, make himself invisible, you know, like Dumbledore. So it's like the Hollows were just not the way for him.
Yeah. I also do find it ironic that when Dumbledore's talking about, like, the Tale of Three Brothers, and he's like, I don't believe that death actually, like, encountered them. Like, I feel like it's just a story that has been passed on. I think it's kind of funny when they're in this circumstances to be talking about, oh, you know, like, death. But it's probably not real. It's they're literally in the afterlife.
Yeah.
You know? But I think that speaks more to this not actually being the afterlife.
So Dumbledore is talking about how he feels ashamed of his own pursuit for the Deathly Hallows, and he admits that he knew what Grindelwald was capable of, but he ignored his capacity for being evil because he was so enamored by this idea of being Master of Death. And he tells Harry that he made his journey to the Horcruxes so difficult because he was afraid that Harry would seize the Hallows and try and defeat Death himself, and he wanted him to possess them safely. Harry then asks him if he has to go back, and Dumbledore tells him that if he decides to go back, quote, there is a chance that Voldemort may be finished for good.
Okay. I have to say about the... I have a quote written from... about the cloak. It was a cloak the likes of which I had never seen, immensely old, perfect in every respect. And then your father died, and I had two Hollows all to myself. His tone was unbearably bitter. So I really wonder if... The cat just attacked me.
He's used to the other chair that's thicker and he can lay on it. So he's a little confused right now.
But we talked about before that no one actually gets them all at the same time. And I wonder if that's actually why he's so bitter about that. Or if he's bitter about the fact that he had to receive this cloak in the death of somebody else.
I think it's just generally, like, his... I think he's also just so bitter, like, the way that he was obviously thrilled to have two of them at once. Mm-hmm. You know? And he's just thinking back on his life and thinking, you know, in a way, like, God, like, if I had only not been so obsessed with this idea, you know, with mastering death. Yeah. You know, I think it's a combination of things.
I still find it so funny that they actually had a movie called The Secrets of Dumbledore, when this is literally this book.
No, seriously. Yeah,
we literally find out all about his flaws in this book. The fact that even in Half-Blood Prince, he put on the ring because he wanted to see his family members again.
Yeah.
It almost killed him. It would have killed him.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. And I also think, like, I mean, of course, Nick, this is something that real people think because they're people. But, them putting so much meaning behind the person who actually is the one who killed her. Mm. When in reality, they all killed her. You know?
Yeah.
All of their arguments and them, their instinct to fight each other was what killed her.
Oh, yeah.
And them putting some meaning behind who exactly it was who made the killing blow.
The thing is I think they know that. Mm-hmm. Of course they know that they were all at fault. But, like, I think it could lessen the guilt, the grief, if they just knew who had done it. Of course, you know, for Dumbledore, right? Say, like, for all of them, you know. I mean, not Grindelwald, he probably didn't care.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, for Dumbledore to be able to say, oh, thank God, it was Aberforth, say, you know, it wasn't me. Like, even though, like, I carry some of that, like, fault, you know. He could at least, like, breathe knowing that he wasn't the one to actually do it. And vice versa. You know, if Aberforth could just say, oh, thank God, like, it was Grindelwald, you know, like, it wasn't me. I'm still at fault, but I didn't actually, you know, it's just something to lessen the grief, the guilt, mm-hmm. I think. But of course they know, like, it was all of their fault.
Yeah. I also have a question. Is Harry returning selfish or selfless?
I just think it's too nuanced to put it in a box, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't fit all the way selfish, all the way selfless. But in a way, I don't necessarily think that, you know, say selfish, you know, because he wants to see Ron and Hermione. He wants to see people again. He wants to be alive, you know. I don't necessarily think that even if that is self-serving, that it has to be like a negative thing.
Yeah.
You know? So I would say that, you know, it doesn't necessarily fit in either category. But I would say that he really wants to see Voldemort finished, if not for himself, then for everyone else. You know, if he could, maybe he wouldn't go back if right there Dumbledore said, right now, if you snap your fingers, he will drop dead and then everyone you know will be saved.
Yeah.
Maybe he wouldn't have gone back. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe he would have stayed where he was and, like, you know, just relaxed for once, you know. But because Nagini was still alive, because, you know, what if something happened to Neville and then no one, and Ron and Hermione, and no one ever knew to kill the snake, and then everyone was, you know, I think he really is thinking of other people, but I think he also really knows that he would get to see his friends again.
I think it's interesting how we talk about, like, selfishness just as people.
Yeah.
Because I don't think anyone ever really sees it as something that is inherently bad. It's just something that has to be earned.
Interesting.
Because, you know, like, we see, like, once you get to a certain age, if you've done enough in your life, if you've done enough good, then you can afford to, you know, sit in your mansion, you know, drink your wine and do whatever, because you've done it. You've done as much as you can. But, like, we see it in, like, young people and anything else, and we see it as something is bad because it's laziness or something like that, you know?
I just think it's interesting because we're almost taught that, like, doing anything for yourself is selfish and therefore you shouldn't do it. As if, you know, we don't also deserve to take care of ourselves. You know, it's like, it's impossible, I would say, to live every single second of your life for other people and never do anything for yourself. I think that's preposterous. You know, like, you have to take care of yourself every once in a while if you're really going to make it.
You sort of need the balance.
Right, of course, of course. And I think it's so, it's such a shame that, you know, we're taught that to do anything for yourself is like, that has to mean that, you know, you're doing something wrong because you're not doing something for other mm-hmm. people. You know, it's like, how can you operate as like a functional person if you never take care of yourself?
Yeah.
You know, even if it's just like an hour to yourself, like every couple of days to just sit and do nothing or read a book or like take yourself out to dinner, you know, yeah. and things like that. Like, I think it's so like, it's such a shame that we're taught to think like, oh, like I should be volunteering at a soup kitchen right now. You know, because mm-hmm. it's like, it's yeah, you have to do things for yourself too, because, you know, of course it's also, you have to be generous, you have to all of these things, but it's like, you are running your life, and if you're unhappy and burnt out and never doing anything for yourself, like how can you serve other people?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. But, and then of course, considering everything that there still is to do to make sure that Voldemort is defeated, Harry decides to go back mm-hmm. and keep going. And that is chapter 35.
And I guess this is sort of like a controversial thing, I think, with like the idea of Harry Potter. Because I think some people sort of see it as like a cheat, you know? Harry gets to die, but he also gets to come back and live. And it's something that's never really been introduced before. But I also think that a lot of times with stories, people generally think that it's childish or something for a story to have, like, a happy ending. Mm. And I actually think it's more childish to think that every story has to end in, like, sadness
yeah.
in some way. It just seems like a really bitter, resentful
right.
sort of idea.
I don't know if I see it as a cheat, because legitimately, like, we're seeing it from this point of view because Harry's our protagonist. We follow yeah. his life, right? Say you were one of the Death Eaters, right? What they probably saw, Voldemort hits Harry with the curse. They both pass out.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, they don't see Harry wake up, but then he wakes up and lays there. You know, so it's like, it's not like if someone were touching him the whole time that his heart would stop and then yeah. start again. You know, legitimately, it probably just was like passing out for a couple minutes, or no one has ever passed out for that long, actually. That's incredibly rare. Passed out for like a minute
yeah.
and then came to again. Same as Voldemort. It probably looked the same. He may have had his own little moment in yeah. the afterlife, yeah. you know, like it legitimately probably just looked like someone passing out. So just because like transformatively, it is like Harry died, a part of him died, mm-hmm. which it did. Doesn't necessarily mean that he actually died, his organs shut down, his body stopped working, and then revamped, you know? Yeah. So I think that's where that kind of comes from, because I think because of how figurative it is, people assume that it was literal, like he literally died, uh-huh. which is not true, you know?
Yeah.
But I also think that what's done really well in this book is, like you said, it's like, it's not a happy ending, it's not a horribly sad and tragic ending, it's just like, it's kind of just like life. It's just like
yeah.
they lost a lot of things, but it ended up the way it needed to be, you mm-hmm. know? Like, people died, like, they lost a lot, like, and everything, but Voldemort was defeated, and so that's, like, cause for relief, mm-hmm. you know, breathing for once, and then just, like, moving on.
Yeah. I'm trying to hold myself back from saying anything else that we could say.
For
next episode.
Okay. Okay, so on that note, time for trivia.
Silent of the Hollows.
Would you like to go first?
Fill in the blank.
Okay. Let me sit up for this.
Gosh.
I've been laying down the past like two episodes.
For the first time since Harry met Dumbledore, he looked much less like an old man. Much less. He looked blank, like a small boy caught in blank.
No. I was about to say small. He looked small, like a small boy. he looked...
I guess I should say this isn't... He looked blankingly.
Okay.
Like a small boy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Startlingly?
No. You're on the right track.
Mm. Shoot. I'm going to be so upset if I say this one and it's the other one. Shockingly?
No. Fleetingly.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like a small boy caught in...
blank.
Wrongdoing.
Yes. I literally said it before.
I know.
And I was like, I'm going to shoot myself.
I broke even anyway, so. Okay. Fill in the blanks. A long time later, or maybe no time at all, it came to him that he must exist, must be more than blank thought, because he was lying, definitely lying, on some blank.
Oh my god. From the top.
Okay. A long time later, or maybe no time at all, it came to him that he must exist. Must be more than blank thought.
More than blank thought?
Mm-hmm.
He.
I want you to think about that sentence. And why that doesn't make sense.
More than blank thought?
Uh-huh. Think, like, adjective.
An adjective?
Yeah.
Then...
green.
Green?
I thought you were gonna say a color.
You go again.
A long time later, or maybe no time at all, it came to him that he must exist. Must be more than blank thought.
What?
Oh my god, wait. I just realized I had the exact same question as the one you just asked me. Literally.
No way.
Exactly the same.
Oh my god, fleetingly wrongdoing.
Look at that. That's 2 points for both of us.
Oh my gosh. That actually might be a first for this podcast.
That's actually wild. Answer. Exactly the same. Whoa. Okay, anyway.
I mean, it's a very weird chapter for trivia.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. do you want me to read it again?
Yeah.
A long time later, or maybe no time at all, it came to him that he must exist, must be more than blank thought.
I literally don't even know how the sentence could be structured.
Do you want me to just tell you?
Yes.
Disembodied.
Disembodied thought. Got it.
Because he was lying, definitely lying, on some blank.
Some surface?
Oh!
Is that right?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Unfortunately, you broke even, so...
We're gonna have 0 points this episode. Fill in the blank. I resented it, Harry. Dumbledore stated it. Blank. Blank. Blankly. Blankly.
Okay, can you please read that again?
I resented it, Harry. Dumbledore stated it. Blankly. Blankly.
Okay, wait. So it's... he speaks the part, I resented it, Harry. And then it is...
Dumbledore stated it. Blankly. Blankly. Blankly.
Completely frankly?
No. Not quite.
hold on. extremely sadly. I don't know. I don't know.
Baldly? Coldly.
Mm. Okay.
The two moods.
Fill in the blanks. Oh, God. Convinced as he was of his total blank, this did not concern him, but it did intrigue him blank. You cannot look at your phone because you had that quote in your notes.
I did?
Yes. Convinced...
well, I let you look at your quote from last time.
What?
For the last word of the chapter.
I would have gotten that anyway.
Nuh-uh, you had to look.
Nuh-uh, because you said...
okay, so now you're going to lie for the listeners.
Oh, my God.
Because they don't know what you looked like.
Anyway... fill in the blanks. Convinced as he was of his total blank, this did not concern him, but it did intrigue him blank.
Greatly?
No.
What? I don't remember reading this.
This is about when he realized that he was naked.
Oh. Thoroughly.
No.
What the fuck?
Slightly.
Slightly.
Okay, convinced as he was of his total blank, this did not concern him, but it did intrigue him slightly.
Where was the blank in that?
Convinced as he was of his total blank, this did not concern him, but it did intrigue him slightly.
Bareness?
No.
Oh, it's about him being alone.
And naked, yes.
Of his total... I just read this.
You did.
I have no memory of it. Of his total...
Do not. I see what you're doing. You're cheating.
I'm not cheating.
I am not giving you the point if you look at that and say it.
I'm not gonna look at it.
No, show me your screen right now. You're looking at it.
I'm not looking
yes,
at it.
Yes, you are. Turn it all the way around.
I'm not looking
Turn
at it.
Turn it all the way around. Okay, then go. Stop. Stop. Stop it. Give me your... Give it... No, turn it around all the way to face me. All
Sorry,
the
I'll
way.
Close my phone.
Stop. I'm not giving you the point.
No, no, I didn't see anything.
Yes, you did. I don't believe you. Okay, then guess right now.
In his atonement.
No. And you already guessed twice, so.
What is it?
Solitude.
Solitude. Got it. That is what it says there, huh?
Yep, it is.
I'm gonna retroactively take a point away from you last episode.
Okay, I still win.
And if you hadn't won, would you not have let me do that?
What?
Think about that.
What the fuck?
Fill in the blank. Oh, I had a few blank. I blanked my conscience with empty words.
Doubts?
No, both words never heard before.
Oh, okay. Awesome. I blanked my conscience. Flooded. You've definitely heard that word before. I have no idea.
For either?
Yeah.
Oh, I had a few scruples. I assuaged my conscience.
Assuaged
sounds like French. My conscience, empty words. I just had this thought the other day. It's Harry Potter related.
Okay.
Do other wizards from, like, different countries say different spells? Like, if they're from a country that does not speak a language based in Latin.
Oh. Interesting. I'm gonna venture out and say... likely not, just because that seems a little bit complicated with magic, because what would happen if, like, they said, like, say, like, Harry, like, met someone from someone in another, like, country or something that did not speak or did not use that kind of spells, like, what would happen if they started doing each other's spells, but it was, like, the same thing? It just seems
like
rather complicated.
You can apparently invent spells.
Huh.
So I feel like it's literally just up to the person. And I feel like it's just something to get the meaning out. You know what I mean? Because you can do nonverbal spells as well.
Interesting. Just based on what I know about J.K. Rowling, I'm going
to
say
no.
Oh,
yeah. When it comes to J.K. Rowling.
Okay. Fill in the blanks. Hold on. Oh, God. My eyes hurt so bad. Fill in the blanks. A great domed glass roof blank... high above him in blank. Perhaps it was a blank.
What?
This is about King's Cross.
It's the only place they are in this chapter, so I guess I could assume.
I forgot. Anyway. A great domed glass roof blank high above him in blank. Perhaps it was a blank.
Shone.
Good guess, but no.
Appeared?
No. A great domed glass roof glittered high above him in blank. Perhaps it was a blank.
Glittered in above him in sparkle.
Good guess, but no.
Glittered above him in light.
Good guess, but no. Sunlight.
Oh my, I should get half a point.
Sure. Perhaps it was a...
mirage.
No. What's wrong?
Perhaps it was a... fake.
No. Perhaps it was a palace.
A palace.
People are going to think that I was saying, what's wrong to you?
I'm pretty sure they can hear your cat.
Yes, squishings.
Fill in the blank. Dumbledore nodded, looking down at his lap, tears still blank on the crooked nose.
Shining?
No.
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 Tears still... Tears still on the crooked nose? Crooked
no.
nose?
No.
What is it?
Tears still blank on the
okay.
crooked nose.
Yeah. Falling?
No. Glittering.
Mm.
I literally didn't guess it last when you asked me your last question because it was my answer for this one. So I was like, she can't use glittering twice.
Fill in the blanks. Dumbledore nodded still more blank, urging Harry onward, a broad smile of blank on his face.
What?
Dumbledore nodded still more blank, urging Harry onward, a broad smile of blank on his face.
First part.
Dumbledore nodded still more blank.
Still more blank. Still more... suddenly still more. Still more.
Not still more. Still more.
Suddenly still more.
No. Dumbledore nodded still more blank. So still like, more. Say it was sadly, right? Dumbledore nodded still more sadly.
So it's not sadly.
It is not. Considering more. He is... broadly smiling in this line, I'm gonna venture and say no.
Still, okay, I don't like your ass. Still more gladly.
No. No.
Proudly?
No, enthusiastically.
Oh.
Dumbledore nodded still more enthusiastically, urging Harry onward, a broad smile of blank on his face.
Pride?
No.
Kindness?
No. Encouragement.
Half a point.
What?
I just think I was close enough.
No.
Fill in the blank.
You have another one?
Yes.
How?
I've only asked four. We both had the same question before.
Right, which is why I'm confused. It always confuses me when this happens.
Fill in the blank. Harry glanced again at the blank blank thing that trembled and blank in the shadow beneath the chair. The blank blank is hyphenated.
Awesome, thank you.
Harry glanced again at the blank blank thing that trembled and blanked in the shadow beneath the chair.
That what and blank?
Trembled and blanked.
Okay. Ugh, how does he describe this stupid thing? Trembled and... is it stirred?
No. Sorry.
Trembled and... I don't know, like, writhed?
No. Choked.
Ugh. The blank, blank
gross
thing.
Bloody baby. Harry glanced again at the gross bloody baby thing.
I'm sorry, Crookshank. It's okay. Lay down.
It's okay.
Like,
how about blank blanking?
Oh, like, he describes it as raw earlier. So, like, raw, like bleeding. I don't know. I think I'm accepting defeat.
Okay, well. Maybe too early, because it is raw looking.
Okay, I for sure get, like, half a point for that. You do. Wait, fuck, what did I have before? Okay, wait. So I lost 2.5, right?
Yes.
Yes, yeah. Okay. Well, congratulations, because you have just won trivia.
Oh.
-4.5 to -5.5.
Oh. My goodness.
Congratulations.
I'd like to thank the Academy.
Okay.
This is very exciting because anyway. I will be giving the last question of the day.
Whoa. Next episode. That is so exciting.
So.
Okay. So, thank you all very much for tuning into this episode of Ron and Hermione Minus a Romance. And be sure to give us a follow on Instagram at Ron and Hermione Minus a Romance or on Twitter at Ron_HermioneMTR. Shoot us an email at VulcanOfBones@gmail.com and rate our podcast on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We appreciate you all very much, and be sure to tune in next time where we will be covering Chapter 36 and the epilogue of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows.
Stay alive.